they work hard on that, and I don't mean to take up extra time in the service, but I'll deduct it from my time because it is the Word of God. And I like to honor those people that work hard. Amen. I felt a little something right there when I said I like to honor people that work hard. God designed you to work hard, by the way. God designed you for that. Say, well, I ain't got no job. Ain't nobody out there to pay me. Hey, go to work anyhow. Work for free. It'll help you with your depression pills. Get your tail up and go to work. Amen. Dig a ditch. Be a friend. Be a neighbor. Help somebody out along the way. Quit worrying about the money. You do it out of goodness, kindness of your heart. God will help you because He designed you to work. Amen. Get up and go to work. Do something. Amen. Amen. I don't know where it come from other than just, you know, my DNA. So things have to be said every once in a while. You were designed to work. And I tell you, we could help a lot of these doctors go on vacation if people would get up and go back to work.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Restaurants, bless God, wouldn't be full at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, man.
My mama used to cook, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about eating at Hardee's. It was a special occasion to go to Hardee's.
Yeah.
I mean, it was real special. It was like going to the finest steakhouse in New York to get to go to Hardee's. It was a special treat. We thought that roast beef was really something.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man, brother.
Now the restaurant's full every day, 2 or 3 o'clock. Say, why, preacher? People ain't working. They got money from somewhere, but they ain't working. They selling dope or collecting a check somewhere. They ain't working. You can say amen right there. I mean, you support plenty in this state by working hard and paying your taxes. Amen. Preacher, why do you harp on that stuff? Because I don't like lazy. I don't like lazy. You know what I found out about my God? He don't like lazy either. He don't like lazy. You'll never do nothing for God being lazy. When I was a kid, we had camp meet bums, church bums. They'd never done a thing for God besides come to the meeting and eat all the food. Their clothes was dirty. Their body was dirty. Their car was dirty. But they ate all the food at the camp meeting. Sit there and watch them waddle in the fellowship hall and eat all the food. I went down there one night to get me a piece of pecan pies, having fellowship, and we ate some supper, and I seen some pecan pie, and I said, man, I'm going to come back and get me some of that pecan pie. And one of them big old fat southern women, I turned around, she had the whole pie, eating it with a fork. You've got to be kidding me. If that was my wife, I'd disobey God, I'd be bitter against her. While you're at Matthew 11, I'm going to read this in Matthew chapter 3. The Bible says, in those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Now we'll jump over in Matthew 11. I want to read that as an introduction. You want to say a lot when you get up here, you know, being cordial and kind and all that. The floors look real good, and they really do, and y'all are so kind to me, and you're good to me and all that. If I die tomorrow, y'all remember this is the last thing I said. I was a nice guy. But I was riding around, and last night I stayed up while Zach and all of them, my wife and all of them, children went to bed. And I decided I would stay up and study a little bit. And the thing that was on my heart, I tried to study a little bit, and then I'm riding down the road today down here at Cuba, and the Lord laid something on my heart. And then the brother got up here a while ago and said, we want to hear from God. And I don't know a whole lot, but I believe that if God ever spoke to me, God spoke to me today right down there in the vicinity of Cuba. And if I don't say nothing else, I want to say what the Lord spoke to my heart. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7 says this. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? And he asked them, he said, you go see a reed shaking in the wind? This is one thing I want to say to you tonight. I want you to listen to me. I'm still into this. That's still where my heart is right there. And I want to tell you mamas and daddies something. Some of you is going to die and go to hell if you don't quit messing around with God. Yeah. And it's one thing. If you want to die and go to hell, you're a grown up. You can do whatever flip you want to do. I don't want nobody to go to hell, but that's up to you. I said that's up to you. Amen. But the part that bothers me, if you're not real careful, some of you is going to drag your youngest straight to hell with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
And little innocent children that God blessed you with, that you're going to take and lead them straight to hell. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me ask you a question by making that statement. How many of you still got that sword Brother Harvey preached about? Don't lie. You don't give a flip about that sword Brother Harvey preached about. You ain't doing nothing with that sword. That man come in here and preached his heart out, sweated, gave himself to this thing, and we don't no more think about that sword today, Brother Zach, than a man in the moon, son. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I said, we're going to hell, and we don't even give a flip. We ain't doing nothing with that sword. It was good for a week or two. It worked real good. It lasted real good for about a week or two. That meeting went well for a couple of weeks. But after about 5 or 6 weeks, the meat was all gone, son. It's live back to normal.
Right. Right.
So what are you talking about? I'm talking about going to hell and not even caring. It don't have to die in 6 weeks. Somebody in this building tonight could lift up the sword that Brother Harvey and said, hey, pastor, hey, preacher, I'm carrying that sword. And let the redeemed of the Lord stand up and say, son.
Amen.
Some of you come in here without a sword, and man preached his heart out, and you got all by half silly and googly-eyed and emotional, and you ain't done a flipping thing with it yet.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you don't care. You might have lied to yourself and told you that you cared, but be honest with you, you don't care.
Oh.
If you cared, you'd be passed from death unto life.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. God is such a petty little puny God. What a weak little puny God. He can't even save you. I'd change God, you hear me?
Amen.
If my God couldn't deliver me, if my God couldn't have saved me, I'd have found me another God, you hear me? I'm telling you, the God of that King James Bible is able to save you.
Yeah.
He's able to do anything exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can imagine. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you, if you'll give yourself over to God, if you'll really commit, did you hear that word? Commit yourself to the Lord. God will save you. God can save you. God can save anybody. God will save anybody. And besides saving people, God will help you with your problems. God will help you with your mind. God will help you with your emotions. I don't serve a God that saved me and left me out in the wilderness. I didn't get saved by a God that left me out there. I'd be desolate and wander alone. He took care of me. He's touched my mind. He's touched my body. He's touched every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
If he's got enough to save you, he's got enough to fix you. Amen.
Yeah.
You ain't got one with the molly grubs tonight. I stay about half mad because I get sick and tired of watching people blame God and make out like God can't do something. He's a mighty God. He can hang the sun, the moon, and the stars and tell it to stay yonder. And I tell you, friend, he can save sinners tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. What went you out to see? Why are you here? Why are you here? Why'd you come to this meeting anyhow? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you not to be here. I'm not asking you not to come back. I'm just asking you an honest question and don't lie to yourself. Why are you here?
Yeah.
Some people come to see somebody.
Right.
Some people come to see a reed shaking in the wind. They want a little entertainment. That's right. They want some excitement. The church of God is exciting.
Yeah.
Them songs were exciting. Hey, if that ain't what the excitement you're looking for, you're in the wrong game, baby.
Yeah.
About as good as it gets a while ago, it is well on my soul. It will be worth it all. Praise God. If you ever go through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll understand, praise God, when you come out on the other side, it will be worth it all. We see His. Amen. If you ever had to do a little suffering for the cause of Christ, you will confess it will be worth it all when we see His face. Why are you here? Boy, it's a good place to have a little family reunion, ain't it? Good time to catch up with some old pals, ain't it? It's the wrong reason to be here. Hey, look, I love people in this building. I don't know all of you, but the ones I know and the ones I don't know, there's a love of God shed abroad in my heart, and I love you.
Amen.
But I didn't come to this meeting because of you. I come to this meeting for God.
Yeah, right.
I told my wife riding down the road today, there's a million carnal things that we can conversate about riding down the road. By the way, let me go ahead and get this out of the way. Everybody's got little nicknames for me. It don't matter what you call me. I've been married for over 30 years. You can't bother me. I've been called everything under the sun. That was a joke. I'm not mad about it. I wasn't joking about being called everything. I'm just not mad about it. I come, Brother Hayne, and I told my wife, I said, honey, we can talk about a lot of things, but I come to get something from God this week.
Amen.
I need to hear from heaven.
Amen.
I need God to pour something down in my soul this week. I don't want to dwell on the silliness of humanity. I don't want to deal with all that silly junk that goes on that don't amount to a hill of beans in eternity. Who said what, and they treated this person. I don't give a flip about all. I need to get with God.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I need to get with God.
Right.
While we're sitting in this building tonight, nice, it's wonderful. We got an opportunity, got a King James Bible in our lap. I got two children on their way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no joke for me.
Right. Yeah.
My kids sit in church just like you children do. They sit in services just like this, and some is good or better than this with King James Bibles in their lap. And they're sitting down there in Raleigh, North Carolina tonight on their way to hell. They heard people preach on stuff that y'all heard preach on. They still dying and going to hell. There's a man in our church. He's got children. They was raised up to honor God and to honor God's men. And they went out and they worked jobs and as teenagers. And they would save their money. And they would take every bit of their savings, Kimberly, every bit of their savings and give it to missionaries. And every one of them sitting in our head straight to hell tonight. He said, preacher, why would you say, because if him kids could do something like that, what's your children doing?
Come on.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Why is your children any different? They ain't even giving money to missions. That's God, you worried more about them having fun than you are them supporting the missionary.
Come on. Amen. Right.
You worried more about them having a little old silly emotional time for about 10, 15 minutes or an hour than you are for them supporting something further to the gospel somehow. Why are you here? They told me that I was going to preach, and it aggravates me, Timmy, because I want to come in here and preach a glory message, but that's not the stuff that God puts on my heart all the time.
Yeah.
If I don't get through here, I'll ruin everything. Verse 80 says, but what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. But John was more than a prophet. He nipped the prophets in the bud.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man.
Them prophets was forth telling about the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was on that Judean bankside and said, behold the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
He's not prophesying.
Right.
He said right under his voice, look at him. Stop. Pause your life. Stop everything. Everything comes to a halt. Let's think about this for a second now. That's the Lamb of God. Which taketh away. Thank God that he taketh it away. Taketh away. Taketh away the sins of the world.
Right.
Yes.
My sins ain't covered. My sins are taken away. But what went ye out to see? Soft clothing. There in King's house. What went ye out to see? The prophet. He's more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Just a simple, quick definition of that word violence in the Oxford English Dictionary is the deliberate exercise of physical force against a person, property, etc. It's physically violent behavior or treatment. The abuse of power or authority to persecute or oppress. It's a physical assault. And this is last but not least, certainly not least. It's great intensity or severity. Great intensity or severity. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence from the days of John the Baptist until now. What I want you to understand is you are in charge of the kingdom of heaven. God left that in your lap. That's your body. That is, thanks. The kingdom of heaven is affecting your body. Who's in control of your body? You are. And he said the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence from the days of John the Baptist until now. Somebody has violated humanity. If you ain't aware of it, I want you to be aware that you were not born to be the CEO of IBM.
Right,
my
God.
You were not born to be the head honcho. Oh, Zane, I'm about to get in trouble. We wasn't born to be the number one liker on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
Some people think it's their job to patrol and monitor and scan and chase down everything on social media. That's some people's job. But I got news for you. You wasn't born for that. You were born to serve God. Your body was made to honor and glorify God, and you'll never find peace or satisfaction in anything on planet Earth other than giving God His praise and His honor and His glory.
Amen.
You will chase those rabbits for the rest of your life trying to suffice your flesh, but it will never be done. The only thing that can ever settle that is for you to praise, honor, and glorify God.
That's right.
That's what you're made for. Hey, do you believe that you could be the CEO and a Christian of IBM? I don't know if it's possible, but I say, hey, God can do it.
Amen.
God can do that. If God wanted to raise you up to be a CEO,
It'd be okay with him if you were a Christian before that.
Yeah.
It'd be all right with him if you were serving him in that position of leadership. See, in that position of leadership, you got some leeway. It's a little easier to tell people about Jesus when you're the boss.
Come on.
Amen.
And we got every reason in the world, Brother Williams, why we shouldn't hand out gospel tracts.
Amen, preacher.
You know what I call it? Cop outs. Cowards. A lack of courage. Ain't nothing wrong with a good gospel tract. Ain't nothing wrong with a good gospel tract. Said, preacher, lay it down. Write one, smart fellow. Write one. Write your own. Base it out of that King James Bible. Said, preacher, what is it? Just following the gospel. You know, I don't like talking to people. I don't like myself. Most of the time. I love myself. Most of the time, I don't like it. I don't have your gift. So a lot of times it's easy to just hand them a gospel tract. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
I know preachers' wives and they handed out a gospel tract since they've been a preacher's wife. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you love the gospel of Jesus Christ, you ought to be giving it out, don't you think?
Amen.
I would think.
Right.
That's right. It's not up to anyone but you as to what you do with Jesus.
That law of God will rest upon you. And it's up to you as to what you're going to do with it. It's not up to anybody. It's not up to what's been done to you. It's not up to what's been said to you. It's not up to it's up to you as to what you're going to do with Jesus. We like to play blame games and throw fingers and bring up the past and all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, man. That's exactly what it is to God. It's the past. God will put it behind you. If you'll let him.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to agree with God. We're not Calvinist. Doesn't matter what your daddy says. Doesn't matter if your mom and daddy has got a halo around their head. You're going to have to be born again. Amen. Amen. That's right. You're not a child of the covenant. He must be born again.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
It's up to you to see yourself guilty. Now, Brother Hain, a lot of times when we preach, here's what people say. They'll judge you when you preach. And I tell my congregation all the time, I don't know what's good and what's not good. I leave that up to the people. You decide. I mean, you're going to do it anyhow. You're going to go home and you're going to say, man, preacher chased rabbits. He was meddling. Man, that was good today. It was fine. But you better be careful judging God's man because God put him here to judge you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I 10,000 times rather have Tim McVay judge me than God.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'd rather go ahead and have the forerunner take care of it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. Don't judge me. Ain't nobody going to judge me but God.
You better hope to God some man comes along with a touch of God on his life and drops the hammer on you. You better hope to God that happens. I didn't even like the preacher that was preaching the night I got saved. I didn't like him. He was a fake. He was a phony. He was a pretender. And I love that man tonight. I would to God, Sam, I could see him. I'd hug his neck tonight and thank God. Chris, you know why? Because God used that old pretender to show me what a pretender I was.
Yeah.
I sat there and judged that man and said, my God, he ain't even real. He's not even himself. He pretends to be like another preacher. And God the Holy Ghost said, what about you?
Yeah.
It was up to me to agree with God, boys. It was up to me. I didn't go to my little mommy and ask her to wipe my tail on my nose. I run out in the woods and got a hold of God and asked Him to wipe away my sins. God have mercy on me, a sinner. I didn't pray the fundamentalist prayer. I prayed that one time when I was 15 and it didn't work. I did exactly what they said. Man, I heard all my life, you better have you a place and you better have you a time. I'm going to say some stupid stuff, okay? You better have you a place and you better have you a time. And man, I knew I didn't have me a place and a time. And I was in there at a particular camp, and I remember them preaching on hell. And man, I didn't want to go to hell. And I tell you what I did. I set me up a place. And I got me a clock, and I prayed that prayer that they told me to pray, and I looked at the clock, and it was 10 minutes to 11, and boy, I wrote it down and put an X on the spot, and I got up and walked away twofold a child of hell.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. Prayed that prayer as good as you could pray it, and was headed straight to hell. And then God, the Holy Ghost,
hallelujah.
7 years later.
Yeah.
After I done told a man, he said, let's go pray. And this, I was a child of God. I prayed the sinner. Yeah. Let's go pray. I said, I don't need God. I said, look at me and my God-given eyeballs. That ain't a child of God.
Right.
A child of God. I need thee every hour.
Amen.
Yeah.
I need him to get up in the morning. I need him to lay down at night. I need him, praise God, to go to work during the day. I need him to cut two befores. I need him, praise God, to sit down and eat lunch. I need him, son. Christians, born again people, don't say, I don't need God in their heart or in their mouth. So, preacher, explain that to me. You like that TV better than you do that King James Bible.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We like entertainment. I messed up, Samuel. We like that entertainment better than we like the things of God. We like them cell phones better than we like the prayer closet. And we wonder why this generation is going to hell. My generation was... When I was a child, I seen people, when missionaries needed a vehicle, you either gave them one or bought them one. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was in America. When I was a child and we run across missionaries that needed a vehicle, we either bought them one or gave them one.
Amen.
And we didn't give them a piece of junk.
Yeah.
We gave them one that we would drive.
Amen.
Somebody's house burned down. We didn't give them our wore out shoes. We gave them some good shoes. Amen. We gave them good clothes. We didn't give them the off brand, the sorry ones. We gave them the best we had.
Amen.
That's what. And there ain't a thing in the world good about me but Jesus. What is it that violates the kingdom of heaven in your life? I'm not talking about the holy ground that Moses was to stand on. I'm talking about in your life. What is it that violates the kingdom? What is it that's affecting the laws of God in your life? What is it that's affecting you from agreeing with God in your life? What is it with you that's violating that ability for you to come to terms with God in your life? There's a violation going on. Let me say, first of all, it's things. Things has done took the place of God. And ain't that silly? Things have taken the place of God. You know, before you was ever born, before the first man and first woman in here was ever born, God created this thing, and God created it for our pleasure. You understand that? And then God, here we come along, and God's blessed us with all of this creation, things that we can enjoy by the goodness and grace of God. And instead of us praising and honoring and glorifying God in it, we take and possess this stuff, and it has become our thing instead of God. These things have taken the place of God. Here's what he said. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, God ain't no dummy. He knows that people love pleasures more than they love him. And you don't have to sit here and try to pretend to me. Listen, folks, I wouldn't even ask you sinners to examine yourself, because your heart's so wicked you can't honestly examine yourself. You lost people are so vile, and so your heart is so deceitful, you can't examine yourself. It's going to take the raw word of God to examine you, and you're just going to have to agree with God. Against yourself, whether you like it or not. Hey, whether you agree with it or not. God is right and I'm wrong.
Right.
You know, the night that God showed me what a hypocrite I was, I didn't say, but God, God, I'm a good dude. I pay my taxes. I couldn't say that. Things is keeping people from entering. Listen, careful. Things is keeping people from entering into the kingdom of God. I didn't say the kingdom of heaven. I said the kingdom of God.
All right. All right.
Amen.
You're going to go from the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of God. But the only way to do that is for Jesus to birth you in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to agree with God. You're going to come to terms with him. Preacher, what do you call that? There's a real deep word. It's called repentance.
Amen.
Listen to what he's saying. We've been talking about this over at our church. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what the opposite of poor is? Y'all are so smart. We as a family, we were different. But we played opposite day around our house. My kids would come to me and they say, Dad, you're so good looking. Dad, you're so smart. Dad, you got all the money. And I look at them and say, you ain't getting a whipping today. I won. Hey, guess what? You ain't getting whipped today. Get there and pull your pants off. The opposite of poor is rich. You know what Jesus said about this day? He said, you're rich and increased with goods and you have need of nothing. Nothing would include God.
Mm.
What do you need God for? What do you need God for? You need a phone? Obama will give you one of them. You need some food? They give stamps out for that. You can go down there and visit with the WIC department. You need a house? The government will take care of that for you.
Yeah.
What you need God for?
Yeah.
You don't need him and you know you don't need him. But I tell you what, one of these days you're going to stand face to face to it.
Yeah.
You're going to need him. You're going to need him more than anything you have ever needed in your life. Oh, dear God, you're going to need him. You may think you don't need him now. You may think that you need to go eat supper tonight. But I tell you what you need more than supper. You need God. You need the presence of God. You need the touch of God. You need the power of God. You need God to visit with you. More than you need to sit down and eat another meal. Eating's more important to people than God is. And I'm fatter than I've ever been in my life preaching this stuff. You need that money more than you need God, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what you did? I hope to God this is what you did. You went and got a job. You must not need a Savior. You must not need a Savior because you ain't went and got one.
That's good.
Because if you really need it, if you really, really believed you need it, I believe with all of your heart, you wouldn't stop until you got it.
Amen.
Did you hear what that violation, what that violence was a while ago? Man, it's persistent. It's staying on it. It ain't getting lukewarm. It ain't letting a meeting last for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm telling you, it's staying after it, man.
Right.
Right. He's standing in that closet. He's standing that word. He's standing before God. He's laying out before Him. He's grabbing the horns of the altar. It's a plea with Him. It's a matter of life and death.
Uh-huh. It's not what it's become to us, brother. It's almost a pastime anymore. Let's go to church. Let's have another service. Hell's just going to get hotter on you. Sodom and Gomorrah, if they'd have had what y'all had, they'd still be here today. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. If Sodom and Gomorrah had what we had, they would still be here today. And they'd probably be doing pretty good. They didn't have a meeting like this. They didn't have a King James Bible. They didn't have a Baptist church. Look, but if they had, they'd have repented. If they would have received the light that you've received, they would have repented. Hey, them Sodomites would have repented. I said them Sodomites would have repented. Why can't you married folks repent? Them wicked Sodomites can repent.
Right.
You give them some money. I don't believe in putting them all in hell. I believe in putting them all under the gospel.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Mexicans need the gospel. Muslims need the gospel. Sodomites need the gospel. Perverts need the gospel. Husbands need the gospel. Children need the gospel. We all need the gospel. Things. I don't even want to go through it because we ain't got enough time to cover your things. We don't have enough. I don't know what everybody's thing is. I just know what I see. And I know what the Lord shows me. And I know people care more about a good time than they do getting to God. And I'll be honest with you, look me in my God-given hazel eyeballs. Being in Christ is the best time I have ever had in my life. I don't have to, bless God, be swimming. I don't have to be swinging from a rope. I don't have to, bless God, go to a ball game. I can sit down yonder in my house all by myself with the lights turned off and be having a time in Jesus.
Yes.
And what is it? Peace like a river.
Yeah.
When the world is a rocking to and fro like a drunken man, here's an old redneck sitting in there at the house, got peace like a river. Amen. When the wrong person gets in the White House, I can lean down that night, praise God, and pillow my head till it's peace like a river.
Amen.
That man ain't in that White House by no mistake. Yay, man. Praise God. And I had to be an idiot today and go on Facebook and just let everybody know that Trump couldn't get this abortion thing done. So Joe Biden had to come along and get it done. Oh, what a God. Oh, what a God. Hey, I don't care who's in the White House. There's a God in heaven. He's in control. He's still big. He's still God. He's still great. He can still help you.
Yes.
He's still God.
Yes.
They may not honor Him up there in Washington, but I hadn't met one in my lifetime that really did. I'm 55. Amen. God, why? It's just stupid. If I'm going to have people come pray, I promise you one thing. It won't be Paul White.
Right. Yes, sir.
I know we don't have any problems right here, but that stuff, man, I just, as it comes up, sometimes it comes out. I might get me an old country preacher. Yeah. You know, like old B.R. Lakin used to be.
Yeah.
With a touch of God.
Yeah.
Why don't you come up here and pray for us, preacher man?
Yeah.
Get a hold of God, sure enough.
Yeah.
Amen. Be afraid what some of them other people might get a hold of. Might be me. I don't want to get a hold of me. People won't touch me. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
Man. Things.
Right.
See, what things are is our possessions, Brother Hank. Mm-hmm. Mine. Mm. He said, them little words, what shall it profit? That's mine. If a man should gain, that's mine. That's that possession stuff.
Yeah.
If he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, But see, these possessions are—they're our profit, they're our gain, and it's what we're—that's what we're clinging to today. And God's just over here. Well, when we have a meeting, we'll get involved with God. God's agreed with all that. God's not fooled by any of it.
Yeah.
Wonder why you can go to some of them meetings and you can't get with God, because you wasn't with God last month.
Yeah.
He said, because what I see in secret, I reward openly.
Amen.
I tell you, one of the reasons why there ain't no worship going on at the house of God is because there ain't no worship going on in the closet.
Right.
Woo! Amen. Good morning, brother.
It ain't up to your personality. It ain't what kind of person you are.
Right.
It ain't about that. God's
right.
Bigger than your little silly personality. Right. He's bigger than what kind of a person you are. Hey, God don't give a flip if you're bashful or not. You get over in that secret place and you get a hold of God and let God get a hold of you. You'll be sitting down there in the church one day and they'll get to singing it as well, my soul. And they'll be Big Daddy Don Garland's grandpa be down there dropping clutches in your soul. And I'll tell you, the next thing you know, them tears will start flowing, your mouth will fly open, and a big hallelujah for the God, amen. Glory, love will fly out. You say, my God's bigger than us.
Right.
You can't help it. It ain't because you're couth. You're not shouting because it ain't shallow. You ain't shouting because you ain't got to shout.
Right.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay. You know what you got to do first of all to get a shout, Brother Zach? Get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
And then you'll just start shouting. I mean, you'll just be running around before you know it. You'll be riding down the road minding your own business. You ain't bothering nobody. And God, the Holy Ghost will jump up in your vehicle. And it'll get real foggy up in there. And the tears will start flowing. And you'll be 10 miles down the road going, how in the name of God did I get here? That's God. That's God, amen. When he's all that you have, Brother McVeigh sent us that beautiful text the other day, and I shouldn't say it. Maybe I'm not going to tell this story because it's maybe private. But he sent me a text the other day, and my soul rejoiced.
Yeah.
My soul rejoiced. You know why? I said, that no longer has a hold on Brother McVeigh.
Yeah.
One more string detached.
Right.
This old world.
Amen.
I tell you, sometimes my mortgage possesses me. Don't pay it. Me and that gal right there be sleeping under a bridge somewhere. And I'm not sharing her with no bridge. I'll rob a bank before I go there. I've often wondered, I got people in my family that are criminals. And they do little petty crimes, and I'm sitting there on the backside going, why don't they rob a bank and go hide the money and go to prison and tell me where it's at? I mean, if you really want to do something good, man, get some money. You know what, little Hank, that was 100% honest.
Yeah.
It's a good thing God saved me. Because I think like that as a saved man. Help me, Jesus. What thing's got a hold of you? What thing? Let's move on. It's within your human heart to possess things. Every little human in here, a little old ugly boy that's in my church, that little David, that's the ugliest little kid I've ever seen in my life. Is she okay? Is she okay? She's crying. Deep within his heart is a wicked root to possess and gain.
Yes.
That's right. Right.
I said deep within his heart is a root to possess and gain. And he's probably the sweetest person in the building besides Abigail. I wouldn't know. They don't let me see Abigail. They're afraid I might take her bank robbing.
Right.
You know what the Bible says? Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it.
Right.
You go ahead. It's mine. It's mine. I worked for this. Blood, sweat, and tears. God said, go ahead and have your thing. Let it possess you. You'll do without me. The poor, Brother Zach, you know what they possess? Nothing. And yet they have everything. Should we mention self as one of these violators? It's one of the violences in our life. I told our congregation the other day, if it was any one thing that I, and I guess preachers say stuff like this all the time, but it was what was on my heart at the time. But if there was any one thing that I think sending more people to hell today than anything, it's this thing of self-love.
Right.
Amen.
I love me. I'm crazy about myself.
Oh, right. That's right.
The self-love is going to send you straight to hell.
Right.
He said, deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him. You're going to have to deny yourself. Yeah. The self is sending people to hell. I tell you why people are doing the things that they're doing today, because they love themselves.
Right.
They love themselves.
Right.
Not just their pleasures, but they love themselves. They're eat up with self. You know what 99% of the world's problems are today? You know where it stems from? Self.
Right.
My pastors told me a long time ago, because they knew they was dealing with a little idiot. They'd say, go out there and draw you about a 16-inch circle out there in the woods somewhere. Stand in it, and you're going to find all your problems standing in that circle. So I went out in the woods, and I took my tape back. I'm just kidding. You know what I have found in 55 years? Most of my problems is because of me.
Right.
Amen.
I've been married for 33 years, and I've been happily married for about a year and 7 months.
Amen.
Yeah.
I wasn't happily married before that. I was just married. He said, preacher, what's the difference? She got saved about a year and 7 months ago.
Yeah.
That don't bother you? No, some of y'all's wives need the same thing.
Right.
Don't bother me at all. I've known it for 30 years. Didn't take me by surprise. There's one living in my house. I look at her for 30 years and I tell her, you need to get saved. There ain't no, hey, you need to get born again. We didn't play those games. I didn't sit around and pretend my wife's some special. No. She was lost and on her way to hell. I wasn't going to whitewash her.
That's right.
No. I was with her the night that she prayed the prayer. I was the one that read the gospel tract and showed her what to say and all that kind of stuff. And I was there the next day when there was no change.
Right.
Sister, no change. And I kept asking her for the last 30 years, how did you change? And I was setting it up because she would say, just like a sinner, how did you change? Oh, I was so glad she asked.
Yeah.
Sit down right there.
Right.
We're about to talk about how I changed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Been happily married for almost 2 years. God, thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Trying to embarrass her.
Amen.
Just walking in the place for me is embarrassing her. I said all that to say this, Timmy. We didn't always get along. And your stinking daddy. Saying them things to me, bless God. And I mean, I felt like a... I'd get off the phone with him. He didn't help me at all. Because he wouldn't blame nothing on her. Blame a thing. Come up here to this meeting, he'd start talking about them flowers and them roots. I'm like, oh, shut up. Shut up.
God, I've been using some 17. Mommy, shut up. My roots are fine.
Brother Vernon, if God will show you how to win your wife, God will show you how to win the world.
Come on.
We kept saying it. Look how sweet she is. She shot at me through a wall with a 38 special. She didn't know I wasn't standing. She thought I was there. She just shot through the sheetrock wall. Boom, 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 boom. Such a sweet girl. A little southern hell. I called her a southern hell. A little southern hell is what she was. Come home one day. Had a 357 Magnum cocked and loaded. No, 44 Magnum. That old Ruger Black Hawk. That big old long, but when it's sticking in your face, it looks that long. What you gonna do? She's all about to blow your brains out. A little southern charm. Your pastor would say, if you learn how to win your wife, I gotta hurry up and shut up.
No, sir.
You learn how to win your wife, you win the world. I don't know how to win my wife. It was God.
Amen.
I just went to church one night.
Yep.
We just kept praying. Me and her just kept fighting. Preacher, did you? You don't know me. I'm not a good person. I got in the home pen with her a bunch. We had mud-slinging contest. And I did it in the name of Jesus, thinking I was defending the Lord's truth. I just went to church one night, got the Holy Ghost, God and His glory. God's here tonight because I'm here. See, wherever I go, God's in me, God's there. That's not arrogance.
That's right.
But then this night, I went, and every time I go to church, the Lord's there because He's in me.
Amen.
The presence of God dwells there.
That's right.
But this night, Brother McVeigh, you was there. It wasn't just that presence of God. It was that manifested presence of God.
Amen.
Where God just showed up and showed out. And I came in the building. I was outside praying. Came in the building. And I seen that Holy Ghost conviction on her. I didn't say a word. I said, you ladies go over in the trailer and pray. Me and old brother Rick Rose was down at Tanglewood Park. We put them up at Tanglewood Park. We went down there and asked to take his little boys fishing. I took them to a place where there wasn't no fish. I cared about my honey, honey. So if I could your daddy can bridge. Okay, I'll put your daddy can bridge. I was down there tinkering around with the roses, getting ready to go fishing, rigging up them rod and reels, and my phone rung. It was my wife. She said, David, God just saved me.
Glory!
I said, well, hallelujah, honey. Praise God. That's good. And I hung up the phone and I looked at Brother Rose. See, most pastors would have been ashamed. I wasn't ashamed. I was just really, really glad.
Yeah.
I said, Brother Rose, my wife just got born again.
Amen.
She said she just got saved. And old Inspector Gadget here, he goes on with that little magnifying glass. And goes, my God, let me see if I can get her to shoot at me today. She ain't shot at me. She ain't pulled a gun on me.
Amen.
It'll make a change in your life.
Amen.
Glory. I'm not going to preach it, but 2 Timothy talked about them unclean spirits. Can I be honest with you? For some reason, when I don't know, maybe it's because I'm so young and, you know, I'm not supposed to say amen when I say stuff like that.
Amen.
I want you to get this today. People are full, running over the gills with unclean spirits.
all around you. And it ain't just down at the Walmart. They're sitting in the house of God. Unclean spirits has infested our lives.
Amen. Preacher, good.
Preacher, give me one evidence of unclean spirits. By most of these diets that we're on, they came straight out of hell. If you want to go on a diet, come down here and watch that. Watch Eric kill a hog. You'll push away from the table for a while. You won't be able to go to the dinner table and eat. Oh, man, this is good. God, blood, guts, and poop everywhere. You don't want to eat after that. I help you with your diet. I can talk about some food. But these unclean spirits is eating us alive.
Mom.
See, here's the kind of stuff they say to us, Brother Hank. You don't really need meat. You should just be vegetarian. That's what 2 Timothy said. Abstaining from meats. Let me tell you something, bless God. I want my meat. I want my hog. If I get hungry enough, I'll kill you, dog. I want my rabbits. I want a squirrel. I'll eat a coon. The four-legged kind, I'll eat a coon. You say, why? Because it's me. I want my bacon, amen. I want my bacon and eggs. He said they'll try to get you to abstain from meats. I'm not abstaining from meats.
Amen.
God gave them to me to eat.
You move to Louisiana and you might be eating rat, them neutral rats. Them people down there eat neutral rats.
Amen.
I've killed them, but I ain't never eat them. I ain't never been any hungry. I killed one one day with a set of hedge clippers. I was on the golf cart, a utility cart, and I was down there working on the golf course, and I come with a neutral rat across, and I had a big old set of hedge clippers. And so I took off on that cart, I got over by the thing, and got lucky, I rear back slung that thing and stabbed that neutral rat. And I was happy about it. Got him. These things are violent, Timmy. Self is violent. Unclean spirits are violent. Things are violent. But here's what Jesus said. The violent take it by force. Let me ask you a question. Are you violent enough to take it back?
Yeah, come on.
That's a holy word, by the way. That's a holy act, by the way. That's a holy thing. Say, preacher, give me an illustration of that. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Hey, listen, the cross ain't a tattoo.
Right.
The cross ain't pretty.
No.
The cross ain't cute. The cross is disgusting. The cross is violent. The cross is death. It's an ugly thing to look at that cross. It's death, Brother Zach. That's what's so violent about taking it back. Are you willing to die for it?
Right.
He that shall save his life shall lose it. You're going to have to be willing to lay her down. That's pretty violent.
Right.
Are you willing to lay a hold of the horns of that altar and say, I'm not letting go till God. Have you got enough violence in you to be a Jacob? I'm not letting go of your blessing.
Right.
Wrestling matches ain't real cute and pretty. They ain't supposed to be. They're pretty violent. Right. Mm-hmm. Jacob violently wrestled with the Lord all night long and said, I'm not letting go of your blessing. I'm trying to tell you, it takes a little violence to combat this violence.
if the devils of hell's coming against me, they have one thing that's going to work in your life, and that's to run to that old rugged cross and be nailed to it. I'm crucified with it. That's the only thing that's going to overcome these offenders in your life. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that'll give you the victory. That's the only thing that'll overcome self. That's the only thing that'll overcome these things. That's the only thing powerful enough to overcome these unclean spirits. It's the old rugged cross. I'm done with this. Brother Asquith, I was down there in Florida as a younger preacher. And I went through a few storms trying to live for God down there. And I'll never forget one time, Timmy, I was going through one of the darkest storms that I've ever been through as a Christian. I couldn't taste God, smell God, see God, sense God, pray, man. It's like every devil of hell, and they do. It's like every devil of hell intercept my prayers. And I'll never forget one night, Brother John, I was laying down there on the altar. And I've been asking God to crucify me, David Vernon. And I was laying prostrate out there on that altar. And Tori Dishmute, another young preacher in that church, he came and laid right across my back and began to pray for me. And God opened my eyes laying there on that floor. I seen that cross that boy made on my back. And God, Brother John, God let me look down off the side of that mountain. I was coming out of that valley. And I was almost to the peak. But God had let me stop, and He opened my eyes, and He turned me around. Brother Taylor, God let me look in that valley. And you know what I saw? I saw me nailed to a cross.
Amen.
I laid down there, son. I didn't ask God to get it off of me. I said, thank you, Lord.
Yes,
hey, listen.
Yes, sir.
I ain't trying to be silly, but it about ruined my reputation. Mm-hmm. It just about ruined my reputation. Mm-hmm. Old Brother Pat McNair come to our church. Man of God, out of Mississippi. One of my greatest heroes, Brother Zach. And preached on being reduced to ashes. I began to pray. I thought I was going to have a heart attack, Timmy. I thought I was going to die. I was laying down there underneath such a load in my heart. And I got mad at that old man of God. Not bitter, I just got angry because I thought I was going to die. And I got up and walked out of my house. I said, I'm going to go get him. I'm going to go confront him about this. I didn't get 100 yards down the road before the Holy Ghost hemmed me up. You know what the Lord told me? I know they've done all this fancy stuff, but I was kind of dumb. And the Lord said, I'm not looking for your children. I'm looking for you. Mm. Brother McVeigh, I went back there on that back porch and laid out before God. And God began to reduce me to, what is that? Put the fire in me. Mm. Oh, not to get me up. Whoa! No. When you lay on that altar, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. When you're laying on that altar of sacrifice, it's not fun to lay there and just be burned to absolutely ashes. But here's what that old man told me. God uses them ashes for cleansing agents.
Right.
Man. You can make soap out of them ashes. And you know what he said about them ashes? You can't tell if it's an oak tree or a pine tree.
That's right. That's right.
There ain't no big preachers here. There ain't no little preachers. There ain't no good ones. There ain't no bad ones. We just God's preachers.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I'm a big old nobody. Just want God to be able to take me and use me.
Right.
I ain't nothing but a pile of ashes, Brother Zach. I went out there to my fire and built me a fire and got me a little old bottle, Timmy. I didn't even realize. I went to the trash pile somewhere and got me a little old medicine bottle out. And I took ashes out of that fire that I burned and poked them down in that bottle. And as I held that thing up, I seen a flaw in the glass of that bottle. And I went, well, if that ain't God, I'm a monkey's uncle. With all my flaws, all my faults, and all my failures, God can still take something and use it.
Amen.
He can still take it and use it.
Amen.
Reduce the ashes. Still take it and use it.
Amen.
It's violent to lay on that altar. Let the fire of God burn the you out of you. It's violent to lay on that altar and let God burn the things out of your life. But if you're not willing to do it, at least don't take your kids to hell with you.
Well, amen. Anybody hear anything?
Amen.
If you didn't, open your ears.
Got it.
It was there.
Right.
Amen. You know what you need to do? You need to identify it. What is it in there that's between you and God? Identify it. Call it by name. That's why the old timers used to teach it all the time. Amen. Call it by name. It's not an affair. It's a whore and a whoremonger. Call it by name. What is it? What's standing there? What's stuck in there? What's holding you back from getting to God? Identify it. When you identify it, then you can get some help from God and get in there and get that thing ripped out, amen, and get yourself cleaned up and washed in the blood, and then you can start all over, and then you can have a new life in Jesus Christ. But till then, you'll keep making excuses.
Amen.
You'll call it something it's not. You know, you'll come up with some modern word for it. Sin's still sin. Ungodliness is still ungodly. Amen. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. In fact, it hasn't changed in 6,000 years.
That's right.
Still the same. Identify it. And get it out.
Amen.
Get it under the blood.
Amen.
Wash it away. So you can be clean before God.
Amen.
And really realize what it is to have the presence of God in your life. He wants to take you. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. What is it that's standing in the way?
Brother Vernon brought up a subject. He brought up a number of subjects. A lot of things he brought up.
One of the great pleasures I have in life is to call you a friend.
Thank you, sir. You do.
I'm like many people. I've had to pray for children scattered all over, out of the house of God.
Right.
One of the things you pray for, not just the church, but a man of God that will love them.
Right.
I have three of my children now to go to Brother Vernon's church. Okay? They're just in the house of God, and the man preaches to them, and he loves them. Gives them a real hard time.
Yeah.
I like that. That's right. Gives them a real hard time. It's been a miracle in our lives. Just a miracle. There are no other words to say that. They brought up this idea of him and his wife. Now, I preached there maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. And again, Miss Stephanie, she's a Southern girl, she'll be a little rough. If you don't believe that, go test her. All right? You're a little rough. My pastor's wife, Mrs. Randall, who's famous for being able to ride on the back of a horse and shoot a penny off of something, all right? She was just famous for that. And he used to tell the story of her trying to get truth from him and putting a gun to his head while he's driving and making him talk, you know? That's just... I got saved in that kind of an atmosphere, all right? So when I met the Vernons, it was nothing. It was nothing, all right? I'm in the church down south where they're throwing knives on the floor and daring each other to pick them up in the middle of a service. And the service just went on again. It's what I come out of.
All
right. But I preached that night and said, don't blame the woman. Don't blame the woman. The woman is the glory of the man.
Right.
When he talked about those roses and those bushes, When you go by and you see a rose and it's black and nasty, it ain't the rose's fault. Something's wrong with the root. Something's wrong with the water it's getting.
That's right.
Something's wrong with the stem. Something's wrong. You take care of that stem. You take care of those roots. That rose will grow right.
Right.
Every gardener knows that. That rose is the glory of that whole bush. And the woman is the glory of the man. His son called me as hot as he could be. And he read me the riot act. Trying to tell how good his daddy was, but his mom getting mad and all this kind of stuff. And I said, your dad is a man. And he's going to straighten that situation out with the gospel. And I do blame your dad.
All right.
I do. You know what that boy's got today? He's got a mother saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm one Amy Moore who used to pray every night that God would kill her husband. Covered with tattoos, smoking cigarettes. Today she's a lady of the first order. You'll never catch her anywhere where she doesn't look like an absolute lady. Walking in holiness. You know why? Screwed out of the right place. That bulb screwed onto a man that God has changed and worked and done wonderful, gracious things. Now, if you look at him, you'd have trouble seeing that. But God put glory next to him.
That's right.
And he began to see, oh my goodness, look what's happening here. Look what's happening.
Right.
I've had guys come to me because their wives have stepped out, committed adultery. You know what? You know why? Because she's the glory of you, you stinking idiot. What is it about you that your wife had to be unfaithful?
Yeah.
What is it about you that your wife had to go out there and commit adultery? What is it about you? What's God trying to show you?
Right.
Okay? Once you get a grip on that, you won't be bitter against her anymore. You'll be bitter against that idiot looking back at you in the mirror.
Right.
Got a couple over there, and we laugh about it now, but he dragged his wife into that office a few years ago and made the awful mistake of reading me the riot act about his wife. You want to pull a mistake, you come in and drag your wife into that office and give me a hard time about it. And I explained to him that any woman married to a sorry sack like he is would turn out like his wife, but probably far worse. How could a woman ever thrive married to something like him? Why do you say that? Because I used to have a wife that was bitter, hateful, full of cursing, shaming in the ministry over and over again. That boy there could tell you horror stories of growing up being her oldest. And one day the Lord asked me the question, what is it about you that your wife has to be hatred? What is it about you that your glory is bitterness? What is it about you that your glory is so vile? And once me and God began to think about it that way, things began to improve. Things began to get where they needed to be. And I had that wonderful moment of my wife being born again.
Thank God.
Born again. My children knew there was a difference.
Man.
Tell the story one time of Sam saying to Hannah, Mom got mad today. And Hannah just looked and said, you don't even know what that means. You don't even know what that means. You were too small when all that was going on. You don't even know what it means to say Mom got mad today. The woman is the glory of the man. Girls, be real careful. Real careful. Because there's boys in here that can turn you into the most wretched, vile thing on this earth. They can. I got a young lady over here. known nothing but tragedy in her life. Parents split up. Men betraying her. You know what most women look like when they've gone through that for about 10, 15 years? They look skaggy. She brought in Kyle Beale. You know what's happened since those two got together? He's been a man. He's gone to work. He bought her things. Brought her child into subjection. And I've watched her begin to grow. I've watched that begin to happen. The refreshing of her youth back. I've watched all that happen. Why? Because the woman is the glory of the man.
Amen.
What she is. By the way, regardless of who preaches here, probably about every moment when we're gathering together, Mrs. Roger Hayne will be in her prayer closet. And she'll be praying. And it'll be a strength to this meeting. It'll be a strength to this meeting. You know why? Because the woman is the glory of the man. He's had some critics over here. I wonder how many of his critics, wives, can carry a meeting from their prayer closet. You know, it's one thing to run, I do it this way, that way, and everything else. But you know what? Mrs. Hewitt Haynes is the most universally loved woman I've ever known. Okay? Because the woman, she was able to flourish. She was able to become everything God would want a woman to be, attached to this man. Wonder how well the wives of his critics are doing. I hope well, personally, and he hopes well. I'll bet she prays for him. Right? Woman's the glory of the man. Brother Taylor.
Well, amen. So what are you doing? Praying? About one song.
Let's all stand a minute. Stretch your leg a little bit.